Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. All right, go ahead and open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. You mentioned, because some people taking the test, the Nihongo Kente, this coming week. And next Sunday, I think JH and Jenny, are you guys going to take that? Yeah. Got a lot of Nihongo speakers here. Speaking of Nihongo speakers, we need some translators. Make sure we get people who translate for... can we get somebody to translate for Hiroki? Someone who can speak? Yeah, Makiko, can you... Is that okay? Yeah. And we got someone for... Anybody else? Okay, everybody else is okay. Okay. Yeah, praise the Lord. I always say that it's a good Sunday if we have lots of testimonies, and today is a good Sunday. We have lots of testimonies, and also lots of prayer requests. So, Peter or Shannon, you guys are working on that. I know you guys are doing a great job on the bulletin. And if it just gets loaded up and too full and too heavy, just go ahead and put it wherever you can, as many as you want. You know, the answer to prayer is more prayer, and that's always a good thing. So put it anywhere you want, and don't be shy. Nobody takes that many notes anyway on my sermons, so no big deal. Okay, today I'll be finishing my series on Ephesians. This is the third part. And of course, anytime you want to listen again to a message or something like that, you can log on to meetakigc.com and just click on English service there, and you can download a message from there. Today we'll be in Ephesians chapter 4. Verses 17 through 32. It's kind of long, but I'd still like for us to read it together. So if you have your Bible, please join with me, and if not, you can follow along up on the screen there. But we're going to read from verse 17 to 32. All right, let's read together. Verse 17, let's go. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Continue.
Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sexual immorality, so as to live in you, however, did not come to know Christ the flesh. Surely you heard of him, what is the name of the Lord?
Of course.
You are taught with regards to your former way of life, to put off the old self, which is being corrupted by a sinful desire, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be right God, to do righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must suffer off as also, speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one another. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are serving the empty, and do not yet the day of the and do not be as the disciples of the to do something useful in his own hands, that he may have something to share with his God and people. Do not let any emotions of this from another
but only what is helpful.
According to their needs, that he abandon the spirit skills, and do not abuse the Holy Spirit of God.
Okay, Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Amen. Well, I'm done. That's good. Right there. Preaches itself. Today, I'll be focusing on verses 22 through 24. I wanted to read that whole passage because I believe that is one unit that we will be covering in today's message. But the heart of that unit is verses 22 to verses 24. Recently, this last week, Thursday, America celebrated a very important holiday, Thanksgiving. Did you eat turkey or anything? Anybody have a Thanksgiving? Oh, great. Did you fall asleep in the turkey there? No. Also, coincidentally, Japan had a holiday this last Thursday. And in Japanese, it's called Kinro, Kinro Kansha no Hi. And the English translation of that is the birthday of Chris Habakon. That's how you translate it. It's the loose translation. I did have my birthday last Thursday. It's a national holiday. That's a great thing. So I turned 30. So it was not just a normal birthday, but big special birthday. So getting old. Yes, I feel old too. Yeah. But maybe that's a good thing. Reflecting on that, thinking about, wow, I'm 30 years old. I should, you know, dress differently, talk differently, behave differently. Yeah, it's time for a change. And so, throughout our lives, you know, we come to a place or we come to a time where we think or we realize it's time for change. It's time for something new. It could be a small thing, like, you know, changing my hairstyle. Or it could be a big thing, like moving to a new country. Or it's time to change my job. For one reason or another, we are not satisfied with the way things are, or the way things have been is not good enough anymore. So it's time for a change. Please tell your neighbor, the one next to you, tell him, it's time for a change.
It's time for change.
Yes, time for change. Now, for some of us here, we heard about Jesus, and we heard God's voice calling to us in our hearts, and we decided, yes, Lord, God, it's time for a change. While others of us, we grew up knowing of God in a Christian home, knowing about Christ. But there came a point in our lives where we knew we had to change and we had to live up to what we knew of Jesus, the calling He had. And we heard God's voice calling to us, hey, it's time for change. Now, when we became a Christian, or when we decided to give or recommit our life to Christ, amazing, miraculous, dramatic change happened inside of us. Now, on the outside, to the people we see every day, maybe to our family, they don't maybe notice anything different. Not so much of a change, but on the inside, we know, and God knows, we are completely new creation. It's like a butterfly, before a butterfly, it's like a caterpillar. It's this ugly, hairy, furry thing just eats and eats and eats. And then it builds its cocoon. And for months, the cocoon does not change. There's nothing on the outside of the cocoon to show us that something is happening. But inside the cocoon, that ugly, furry, hairy, many-legged creature is changing dramatically into a completely different being or creation. And in a few months, that new creation comes out. And in the same way, God works change in our lives. It can be so dramatic, so life-changing. But even though others may not see it, we are different people. That old person that's inside of us is dying, or we are throwing it away, the old way of life. And a new person, a new creation is coming out. More beautiful, stronger, more peaceful, more like Christ than it was before. It's time for a change. And in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, Paul says that when we give our lives completely to God, we put off our old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. We put off our old self. That term, old self, in the Bible, it describes everything in our life that needed to change. Everything. Our habits, our character, our manners, the things that we like, the things that we didn't like, the things that we're always thinking about, the things that we had to do because we had no other choice. All of that is the old self. That part of us that was before Jesus Christ, before the change. That is the old self. And the old self is described in chapter 2, verse 3, just a few places up. It's that part of us that gratifies the cravings of the flesh, and follows its desires and thoughts. It's described in chapter 4, verse 18, as having futile or hopeless or useless thinking, darkened understanding. It's separated from life, the life of God. It's hard-hearted. It's lost all sensitivity, given over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. Basically, the old self is always hungry, but it can never be satisfied. The old self is always hungry, but it will never be satisfied. It's like that caterpillar, just eating and eating and eating with a continual lust for more. And the old self thinks, oh yeah, I'll be happy, I'll be satisfied, I'll be fulfilled, maybe with the next thing, that next hobby, the next relationship, that next job, the next thing. That's what will make me happy. And so it goes after it, that next thing, whatever it may be. But in the end, it still is hungry. It doesn't get satisfied. That's why desire is deceitful. It says that it's being corrupted by deceitful desires. It says in verse 22. See, we think when we give in or when we follow our desire for the new thing, the next thing, that will satisfy us. But really what happens is it leaves us more hungry, doesn't it? And that's what's deceitful about desire. It promises satisfaction. But in the end, it really gives us nothing. And we've wasted our time, we've wasted our money, we've wasted so much for nothing. It's deceitful. And that is a part of our old self that hungers for more. For me, it's like watching TV. You know, I have some extra time I can kill. Oh, let's watch the TV. When I was a child, I grew up watching TV. I remember the moment I woke up, I'd turn the TV on. And I'd, you know, get in the shower, do everything, eat breakfast. I'd watching children's cartoons right up until the point where I walked out the door for school. I was watching TV. And then the moment I got home, come home, put the bags down, turn on the TV, watch, you know, cartoons, do my homework while I was watching TV. You know, the commercials, okay, let's do number 2 and 3. And then, you know, all the way through dinner. Dinner would come, I'd, you know, turn the TV off, eat dinner. Right after dinner, go right back to the TV. Just watch TV. And my family had this small TV. It's black and white. And I took it to bed with me. And I went to sleep with my TV. Yeah. And I would just watch that. That's how bad it was for me growing up as a kid. And I, to this day, have this weakness towards to the TV, where there could be absolutely nothing interesting on. It could be home shopping, you know, talking about, you know, you need to buy the next vacuum. Oh, yeah. And it's not until I turn off that TV I feel this power released. It's like I can breathe again. Off. And then after I turn it off, I realize, man, I just wasted 5 hours of my day. And I'm not satisfied. The thing I just spent 5 hours on just left me empty. Total waste of time. It's a continual lust for more. That is the old self. It will never be satisfied. And in order to get what the old self wants, the old self will do anything, just for that satisfaction. It says there in verses 25 to 31, it will lie to get what it wants. It will steal to get that satisfaction. It will gossip. It will talk about other people behind their back. It will slander. The old self will even go far as to fight somebody just for something that will satisfy its needs. And then when the old self, it hears the message, it's time for a change. It's time for something different. It's time for something new. The old self says, are you sure? Are you sure it's time? You really want that? Because the only kind of change that the old self wants is that kind of change that will give it more, that will feed it. That's what the old self wants. But the change that God wants in our life is the change that will kill the old self. The change that will really satisfy us is the change that brings an end to the old self. In fact, when you become a Christian or when you rededicate your life to Jesus Christ, the Bible teaches that the old self has died. It is dead. It says there in Romans 6:6, for we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. The old self is dead. When Jesus Christ was crucified, He crucified our old self with it. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Christians, your old self is dead. You are dead to the hunger, you are dead to the needs, you are dead to the wants of the deceitful desires of the old self. All those things have no power, no influence on your life. None of it. There is no power. Well then, so the natural question is, why do I still sin? Why do I still struggle with these thoughts, these desires in me? Why do I still have uncontrollable fits of rage? Why does anger seem to still have a hold in my life? Why do I still struggle with sin? Why? Now, I cannot pretend to know the full answer to that question. That's a tough one. But, you know, in studying this passage for today, I learned one insight. And that is, part of God's work in changing our lives is to give us the self-discipline, the power, the patience, the strength to overcome the influence of the old self. So even though for Christians, the old self is now crucified, it's dead, could it be that God allows the desires to remain in our lives to help us accomplish His work in changing us into His image, into His Son? God is preparing us for heaven. It's called sanctification. He's preparing us for life with Him in eternity. And if it means having to allow us to struggle or face difficulty or face these things every day in order for us to find the strength, to learn the discipline, to trust in Him more, to be more like Him in His image, then maybe that's why He has these desires remaining in our lives. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Oh, the hunger is still there, but my soul finds rest in God alone. Oh, the temptation, it still calls me. But I'd rather listen to the call of my Master Jesus. Oh, the bitterness and the rage and the anger, they're options. They're a choice. I can go down or I can choose. But I choose to be kind and compassionate, forgiving, just as in Christ God forgave me. It's time for a change. It's time to put off the old self. It's time to throw away the bitterness. It's time to take off the sin which so easily tangles us up. It's time to throw off the old habits, the old character, the traits that led me farther away from God. It's time to stop lying to myself and lying to others. It's time to stop being selfish and greedy and taking for myself. It's time to stop thinking and speaking negatively about myself and about others. It's time to get out and change. Time for a new way of thinking, a new attitude of my mind. Paul says that we are to be made new in the attitude. And the Greek word there is spirit of your mind. Why your mind? Why the thinking or the attitude of your mind? Very simple. What you do is a reflection of what you think. It's very easy. And so Paul says, it makes it very clear. The old self, the thinking of the old self was futile. The thinking of the old self was darkened. The thinking of the spirit or the attitude of the old self was ignorant and hard-hearted. And hard-hearted, remember, heart means mind in the Bible. That's the seat of your thinking process. So to be hard-hearted is to be hard-headed. And so the way you see it, your attitude, your approach to living needs to be renewed. It needs to be made new. The hummingbird and the vulture, they both live in the desert. Sabak. Now, all vultures are looking for, what they see is dead meat. That's what feeds them. And that's what they'll find. They're looking for what's dead, what's past, and what's gone. And they'll find that. It could be the desert, nothing there, but they'll find even the dead things and feed on that. On the other hand, you have the hummingbird, and his eyes are only for what's new, what's living, what is now. Now, each bird will find what it's looking for. And we are the same way. If our minds, if the attitude of our mind is darkened, ignorant, and hard-hearted, that's what we're going to get out of life. That's what the old self wants. But Paul says, be made new in the spirit, in the attitude of your mind. Being made new means not to be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self, which with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge, the mind, in the image of its creator. I want you to notice something there. Whether it's Ephesians, be made new, if it's in Romans, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, if it's in Colossians, being renewed in the knowledge of its creator, that is called, in English, the passive voice. In Japanese, it's the ukemi? Ukemi? I think that's right. Passive. In other words, you are not renewing your mind. It is the Lord doing the work. Last night, I made a ham and cheese sandwich. And so I needed to toast some bread. Now, I don't know about you, but Naomi, she puts all of our bread in the freezer. It lasts longer. So it takes a little longer for me to make a sandwich than usual. And I realized, when I make the sandwich, and I like a toasted ham and cheese sandwich. That's how I like my sandwich. Cheese nicely melted inside. And so in order for that to happen, I got to take the bread out. And the bread, it's hard and cold, okay, coming out of that freezer. And I got to warm it up in the oven. That bread will not heat itself. It's just stuck in the freezer. And if I want it to be warm, I can't put it outside because it's cold outside. It needs to be in that toaster oven. It's the toaster oven that heats the bread. It is the Spirit of God that renews our mind. We cannot do it on our own. It is the work of God that renews our mind. Be made new in the attitude of your mind. And finally, it says to put on the new self, newly created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Put on the new self. Did you notice that? You have to take off, put off the old self with its attitudes. It's being corrupted by deceitful desires. Put it off. And then you put on the new self. Created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Put it on. Put on the new self. I like that. I like that so much. The way it was described to me, the best way I found is when C.S. Lewis, he wrote in the book Mere Christianity. C.S. Lewis is the author of The Chronicles of Narnia, that movie that just came out, but he also authored many books, one being called Mere Christianity. I highly recommend it. It's a very simple book about what we believe. And he was thinking about what it means to put on Christ, what it means to put on the new self. And basically, it's like playing pretend. Do you know how children, they pretend? They pretend to, you know, to be policemen, or they pretend to be mom and dad, and they act out these games. They play pretend. And also, there's a movie, that story of Beauty and the Beast, where the girl, she has this hideous, big, ugly monster in front of her, but she has to pretend it's a handsome man, and she has to kiss the monster. And fortunately, after she kisses the monster, he actually turns out to be someone very good looking and very handsome. There's also another story of a man who himself was very ugly and disfigured. And so he was given a mask. The mask looked very handsome. It was a mask of a very handsome man. And so he put this mask on. And day after day, week after week, as he put the mask on, it turned out that his face began to take the shape of the mask that he had put on. And so he actually started to become, on the inside, what he had put on the outside. The change happened from the outside in. Paul says, put on the new self. Play pretend. And you will become that which you put on. It's amazing because God, He changes us from the outside in. He renews us in the spirit of our mind from the inside out. And then God says, you got the job of changing yourself from the outside in. Do you notice that, you know, when you try to be someone, you sometimes end up being like them. When I was first a teacher at Eon. I worked there for a few years, and it's not just a school, it's a business. So you have to kind of, you know, be nice to everybody. So in the training, the trainers would tell us, you know, it's your first year in Japan. It might be difficult for you. You might be going through some things. But when you get out in the lobby of the school or you walk into the classroom, you're a happy man. You have to put on your smile. And so, you know, I could be having a bad day, you know, having language problems. I can't buy soap or something, and I have to come to school. And I'm having, you know, a terrible time. I can't prepare. I don't know what to do. But when I walk out of the office, I have to act like, hey, everything's great, you know, no problems. And I put on my smile, I'm talking, I'm being, you know, interactive. And the thing is, what I found was, I couldn't be mad afterwards. You know, you'd finish your class, you're done joking and smiling, and you go back to your office, and what was that thing I was angry about again? I was angry about something. I was ticked off about that thing. Whatever. And what I found was, it was just easy not to let those things bother me, because I was starting to become what I had put on the outside. God says to put on the new self. Put on kindness. Put on compassion. Put on generosity. Put on self-discipline. Put it on. And you may not be that type of person. You could be unkind, ungrateful, selfish, mean, angry. Do your best to take that off, but also do your best to put it on. And watch how God will change you from the outside in as you put on the new self. It's time for a change. It's time to take off the old self. Be made new in the spirit of your mind. And to put on the new self, created to be like Jesus Christ. To the glory of God the Father. Amen?
Amen.
All right, shall we pray? Lord. Heavenly Father, we struggle, we fight, we carry our burdens, Lord. And some of those we don't need. It's from the old self. Lord, we're hard-hearted. Lord, we're rebellious, we're disobedient. We have these desires, Lord. But Father, we know in your will, you give us the strength to overcome, to have strength, to be patient, to endure. Oh Lord, Father, for us in here who feel it's time for change, to throw off the old self, help us to do that. And then Father, for those here also, Lord, who need to put on the new self, to put on Christ, help us in that way too, to become more like you, to change, Lord God. We need it, we want it, more than anything else. And Lord, for renewing our mind, for renewing us and transforming us, we'll thank you as well, Lord, changing us in every way, from the outside in and from the inside out. And for this, we will thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.